Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back on the Hurricane Hotline, Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. joining us now. Hurricanes tight end Brevin Jordan off to a great start. 11 catches in his first two games. And I believe, DBJ, that means for tight ends, he leads the nation.
The whole country.
I knew they were going to use him everywhere. He's doing everything right now except selling popcorn. And Brevin Jordan is with us right now. Brevin, good evening. How are you?
What's up, man? I'm chilling. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Coach Enos recognized your versatility, I imagine, back in the spring, and he is putting that to use, as we have seen in the first two games. You have to, I guess you've really embraced this, right? You can be an inline tight end. You can be flexed out. You can be in the backfield. You are just about everywhere.
I mean, yeah, I already knew the deal with Coach Enos. I already knew the deal with Coach Enos and what he brings to the table as an offensive coordinator. I saw what he was doing with Hunter Henry, Arkansas. So, I mean, I just knew what I had to do, and I did it a little bit last year, you know, but it wasn't as complex, but, I mean, I was ready for it. I embraced it.
Brevin, I appreciate your receptions. I appreciate your athletic ability. But what I appreciate most of all is how you will bloody your nose when it comes to the run game. We were watching some tape with Coach Diaz, and both times you were kept in as a blocker, and you went at it as hard as anybody. And you got to take pride in it, but you also got to enjoy it if you're doing such a good job at it. Who got you into the run blocking or pass blocking too?
Nobody really got me into the block. I had to really get myself into it. You know, I moved to tight end as a freshman in high school. I played running back all my life up until that point. So, I mean, I had to really just embrace, you know, blocking. And blocking comes with being a great tight end, you know. So I say, all right, I'm gonna stick my nose in somebody and I'm going to just do it. I'm going to do it 100%.
Brevin, Don mentioned watching some video with Coach Diaz, and we were watching the RPO action from the game the other night against North Carolina. And Jaron's getting pretty darn good at these RPOs. Can you explain a little bit why it's been a pretty effective part of your offense?
I mean, yeah, the RPO is an effective part of every offense, you know, because you have the ability to hand the ball off, run it, or you can, you know, throw a little quick, little slant or a little bubble, you know, on the sideline of the field or whatever. And so, I mean, and with the athletes we have, that's the best type of, you know, offense to run, because we have DJ and Cam in the backfield who are speed guys, you know, and then we have Jeff Thomas and KJ and Mike Harley on the outside to catch the RPO. So, I mean, it's really just allowing us to use our athleticism to the best of our ability. That's really the whole point of it.
We're going to work through everybody in your room. I want you to comment on them, but it's good to see another freshman, Larry Hodges. He got a bunch of plays in and looks like he's able to hold his own.
No, definitely, man. Larry is not side contact, man. He's not the biggest dude stature-wise. Not the tallest dude, really. Not the biggest dude weight-wise either, but, man, he's aggressive, man. They moved him to fullback. Well, he was still tight end, but in the certain personnel, they moved him to fullback because he's not in side contact, and he's only going to get better at it.
How about the way Jaron has spread the ball around? I think it was, what, 10 different receivers caught passes the other night?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, Jaron, I've always knew Jaron was a unique talent. I knew from the day I met him at the opening when we played together on the same team. So, I do, you know, he's not afraid to, you know, take his shots with other guys, you know, but that comes with trust, too. Jaron has a lot of trust in the receivers and the tight ends, you know, so he's not afraid to, you know, throw it out there to anybody.
Tell us about Will Mallory. That's your sidekick, so to speak. You guys are the Batman and Robin of the football team. And tell us a little bit about his personality and what he brings to the playing field.
Man, Will is a beast. You know, he hasn't gotten the chance, you know, to really show what he can do. But I mean, that kid is a beast, man. He has go-go gadget arms. He has his catch radius. You know, his ability to catch the ball away from his body is actually like unbelievable. It's unbelievable, like, to see at practice, you know, because I see it on a day-to-day basis. And then off the field, man, he's just Will Mallory. I mean, he has, like I have a real outgoing personality, and Will's kind of quiet, you know, laid back. He just goes with the flow. So, I mean, me and Will, I mean, our personalities, they're perfect for each other. Not, you know, I'm not trying to sound weird, man, but, yeah, we're like, perfect for each other.
He made a heck of a catch the other night. You know Tate Martell is probably as well as anybody. And yeah. One of the things that Don and I talked about with Coach Diaz on the show last week is, okay, so he's playing some wide receiver, and he took his medicine a little bit and said, hey, Coach, put me on the field. Let's see where I can help this team win. That has to say something to all the other players, right? He wants to get out there to help your teammates. He just wants to find a way to contribute.
Oh, no, nah, man. That's Tate. Yeah, that's Tate. And, you know, a lot of the other players, you know, even the guys on the defensive side respected him at for it, you know, because quarterback is a one-person job. Like, if you're the guy or not. If you're not the guy, you're probably sitting the bench or coming off the bench getting late minutes, you know. So, Tate, I mean, even in high school, man, he was just such a competitor. You know, he just loves the game so much. He takes the game so serious. He always tries to perfect his craft. You know, so, I mean, that's just Tate. He's just such a competitor.
And Bubba Bolden now, he's not gotten on the field yet, but what can we expect from him? Can you tell us, the Hurricane fans that are listening, what will he bring when he's finally on the field? What will you see out of him?
Man, Bubba's a beast, man. Bubba's my son. You know, I raised Bubba. I raised him to be the athlete he is today. And that's why he's so scared, you know. But I mean, Bubba's just so long. He's very athletic. He played quarterback up until high school. Me and him make a transition to different positions the same year. So he's so instinctive. He knows kind of what a receiver's trying to do. And, you know, that's what makes him really good. He's really long. He's real athletic. He's fast. He's real instinctive. And he's not afraid to hit. He loves to hit. If you ask any of the coaches or any of the players, matter of fact, practice, man, he lays the boom. Like, he's not shy of contact.
Coach Diaz has said it today, we're not happy. We're a mad football team. We're not happy with the 0-2 record. This is a little bit of a process going from Coach Rick to Coach Diaz. Can you explain where you think the mindset is right now? Because he is pushing that mindset of being a tough Miami, being what Miami Hurricanes are supposed to be.
Yeah. No. The way Coach Diaz worded it the other day in our team meeting, he said we're a pretty good team with a bad record. And you know, I agree with him 100%, man. Like, right now, we're still, you know, like, fighting through the little mistakes we're making, and, you know, little guys not knowing what to do and stuff like that. And we see it, but we've seen the difference from one game to the next. Like, we see it. We really clean up, like, the little stuff we're doing, and, you know, we just execute and play ball the way Hurricanes do. I mean, we'll be a pretty damn team to beat. That would be really good.
Brevin, when you think about the off season and how much time you spent in the weight room with Coach Feely and how he has made this whole team different, how much more confidence is it giving everybody on this team?
Oh, man, it's giving everybody on this team confidence. We're not afraid to play with anybody, no matter who it is. I mean, it could be the Oakland Raiders, the Denver Broncos. It doesn't, like, what Coach Feely has done to us is he's made the standard of working just the natural standard, of working really hard, exerting your whole body, your whole energy, being really tired, your muscles really tired. That's the standard, though. Like, he's made it the standard, so we're really confident. Like, we feel like, you know, we're one of the most conditioned teams in the country. We're out here in Miami, Florida. And, you know the humidity out here, it gets bad. And we out here running on the track in the sandpit doing crazy stuff. So, I mean, just the work we put in as a whole, as a team, it's been incredible. And that's credit to Coach Feely and his staff.
All right, you got the next 6 weeks you're going to be home. Five games, six weeks. That's an important stretch for this season, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely, man. We need it. You know, we're 0-2 right now, and it don't feel good. But as a team, we're like, man, we could run the table. Like, we're still not in a bad position. Like, right now, it's still early. There's a lot of football to be played. But, I mean, we're ready to go home, play in front of our fans, man. I know our fans are a little discouraged, disappointed in us a little bit. But, I mean, when we go back home and we start you know, play Bethune-Cookman this week. They're gonna see some positive signs from us for sure.
What's it like to see those Hurricane fans on the road?
Man, we have some crazy fans, man. Like the places they go, we had fans in New York last year in the bowl game. Like it shows how much pride our Hurricane fans are. You know, their fans. Like we could be 0-12, 0-11. You know, fans are still gonna bleed orange and green. They're still gonna come to the games, and they're still gonna scream until their lungs fall out. Like that's just how much pride the Hurricane fans have.
Well, I think you're gonna land in the end zone on Saturday, so you're gonna hear some of that cheering.
Man, that's the goal, man. That's the goal.
All right, very good. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. We'll see you on Saturday, and best of luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You guys have a nice one.
All right, that's Hurricane tight end Brevin Jordan. Another good kid. You know, you start recruiting a lot of good kids, they end up with a good team.
Yeah, well, those are about as two as you're ever going to get. That's ever been here. How about that one?
Yeah, so moving him around a lot, 11 catches, not surprising. Last year he had 35 catches, 38, 35 catches. He's going to breeze by that, I think, this year.
Well, the thing that I – Joe, I want to go back to it. His ability to run block. Now, when a guy like that, that's that athletic – that can run that well, catch that well, that is always, always interested in being a complete football player is so rare. Because a lot of tight ends, if you're going to run like that, all they want is the ball, right? Throw me the ball, throw me the ball. He gets down in there and he'll get right next to the tackle, or they'll put him in the backfield and use him as a fullback or an H-back or an F-back, however, whatever you want to label him. He's all of those things. But when you watch him closely, and I recommend it, your respect level goes up tenfold because of how good a run blocker he is. And he's not really a big guy, right? I mean, he's not the perfect height that's of 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", and he's, 230, 240, but he works at it. But his effort and his attention to detail and technique and the run game is as impressive to me as really him as a receiver.
I think the trend is going to be interesting to continue to follow is this one of – Jaren Williams spreading the ball around. Now, we've got two games of a sample size. He's got a percentage, completion percentage at 71%. He hit, 29, 30 passes the other day, 19 passes against the Gators.
30 of 39.
We went for about a year of games where Malik did not hit over 15 passes. Game after game after game, the high was like 14.
Joe, it's been since 2016 since you hit 30.
Yeah,
completed 30 passes.
Right, but I'm talking about that setting the bar pretty high. I was looking at 15.
Pregame would keys to the game would be complete more than
you get
15.
The 15 passes.
Right.
I think it was Boston College last year. Maybe he got the 15. Yeah. But went almost a whole calendar year, or a year of games, 10, 11 games without 15, and. So we can keep spreading it around, and Coach Enos, I'm all for, ripping out those bubble screens and the slants and the RPOs. Now, I do think because of the way they're bogging down the red zone, you got to figure out how to score quick. At some point, you need points in the passing game from distance. But if you keep spreading it around, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the defense.
It will, and what I think – that a lot of people are not grabbing onto at this stage of the game is the value that's going to come with a power running game. And it's growing, right? I mean,
yeah, the running game, I have to admit, I think it's better than I anticipated. DJ is basically over 100. He's averaging 8 yards a carry.
Against two pretty good defenses.
So
right?
You can look at that and go, wait a minute. You're telling me you got a running back that's averaging 8 yards a carry and you're 0-2?
Yeah,
so
right.
What's happening is you're kind of finding ways to lose games.
And a quarterback completing over 70-some percent of his passes.
Right, and you can look at this either way you want with Carolina. So I'm a homer and orange and green's going to come out here. But in the past when you played Carolina, they would help you.
Yeah.
Now, for whatever reason the other night.
They didn't help us.
They didn't help Miami. Because they basically had no penalties.
But Miami helped them for a change.
Miami helped them.
Yeah.
They had no penalties. They threw a perfect game.
Yep.
So, bravo to them. By the way, the same guy that officiated that game the other night was the same guy that we played Toledo. We had no penalties.
See, I knew you'd do your homework. He would inspire you.
I don't know how you go through a whole game of football, whether you're Miami or anybody else,
without
with no penalties. But they did, and it was a big – part of the game, and the 4th and 17 was the killer. And I don't know how I went from 8 yards a carry to 4th and 17, but back to the offense for a moment. The offense is proceeding pretty good.
Well,
offensive line was better the other day. Bethune may or may not offer a fair barometer, but while they're home here, no travel involved, you had 2 games and a bye week. That's 3 weeks to get ready for Virginia Tech.
Well, let's go back to the offense getting better. First of all, week one, you have a completely new offense with a lot of new faces and an entire new offensive staff. That's why I believe that you saw some operational issues. They went back and fixed all that. You know, there was no trouble getting in and out of the huddle. There was no delays. There was the offsides. Everybody got in place and got an understanding of what's going on. And I think that between that whole offensive staff and this offense of Dan Enos, is you're only scratching the surface, because how you run an offense is the weakest link, right? I'm sure Dan Enos has got as much offense as they can handle, and then some. He'll never stop creating. And then, but you can only go is where you're able to execute the play.
Well, the good news, well, you can see what he was thinking, right? Okay, we need. Walk me through this. Okay, your tackle, well, they move Skate back to tackle. You still got to give help to the left side. Well, we can only keep Jeff Thomas and Dallas and tight ends over there for so long. Mm-hmm. We got to release them. We got to release our weapons.
Correct.
Oh, let's bring in Larry Hodges. Let's put a third tight end in there. Now defense, we got a third tight end in the backfield. You could release him or he could block. Right, you got a little guessing game going there.
A lot more athletic a football player than George, right?
Right, yeah, because he can block, run,
catch,
get into the flats, whatever you need, or stay in.
And you're right on that, because you go back to summer camp, we looked at him and were impressed day one. I mean, that guy crossing patterns,
he's
got great hands.
He's
going to
catch a pass here or two.
Oh, probably Saturday, I would think.
And then he'll do something with it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.